And now another edition of Plugged Into Long Island, a service of Cox Media Group Long Island. Stay tuned for our first segment after this.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
All in together now. We can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up.
Cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out.
Cause we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down.
Cause we know what to eat.
We'll swap it out.
Today's a good day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up.
Cause we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around.
Cause we know how to play.
We'll drop it down.
Cause we know how to dance.
We'll veg it up.
Veg it up. Veggie night and day.
Can we do it?
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Good morning. You're plugged into Long Island's number one hit radio music station, 106.1 BLI and 102.3 WBAB, Long Island's number one rock station. With us this morning is Dr. Kapoor. He's president of Advanced Urology Centers of New York and associate clinical professor of urology at Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Kapoor.
Good morning, Sandy, and thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate your being here and talking to us about prostate cancer. Prostate cancer is one of the most common types of cancer in men, usually grows slowly and initially remains confined to the prostate gland, where it may not cause serious harm. While some types of prostate cancer grow slowly and may need minimal or no treatment, other types are aggressive and can spread quickly. Dr. Kapoor, can you give us a brief overview of your background?
Certainly. As you mentioned, I'm president of Advanced Urology Centers of New York. We're the largest urology group in the United States. We have about 55 offices in the greater New York metropolitan area with 117 physicians. We have 1.2 million active patients and do about 20% of the urology in the state of New York. In addition, my privilege to have been the founding president of the Integrated Medical Foundation, which is an organization in the New York metropolitan area that is dedicated to the early detection of prostate cancer, as well as providing education and support services for patients and families that whose loved ones have been stricken with this disease.
Why should men be thinking about prostate cancer prevention and detection, especially as it's Men's Health Month and Father's Day this month?
Well, right around the time of Father's Day, we like to try to remind people to encourage the men in their life to get checked for prostate cancer. As you mentioned, prostate cancer in some cases can be a slow-growing and indolent disease. But unfortunately, that is not always the case. despite all the advances that we've made, one out of every six men will get prostate cancer. And prostate cancer remains the number one leading cause of, the second leading cause of cancer death in men. Right now, even today, with all our advances, a man dies every 30 minutes of prostate cancer in the United States. We estimate that this year, there'll be approximately 30,000 men that will die of prostate cancer. So the real tragedy is that virtually every one of those lives could have been saved had the disease been detected early enough.
Prostate cancer may not cause signs or symptoms in the early stages, but are there more advanced signs that a man should be looking for?
Well, Sandy, your point is extremely important because the most common symptom of prostate cancer is no symptoms whatsoever. And by the time prostate cancer becomes symptomatic, the opportunity for cure is generally lost. So by the time individuals start having bone pain or some of the other symptoms that are associated with prostate cancer, the disease has already spread. The symptoms that men associate with prostate disease, such as urinary difficulty, waking up at night to urinate, weak urinary stream, things of that nature, those are more commonly associated with a condition known as benign prostatic hyperplasia, or BPH. It's a disease that exists in the prostate that's very common in aging men, but it is not cancer. And those symptoms are, again, are very nonspecific. So certainly if you have symptoms of voiding difficulty urination, you should see your family doctor or consult a urologist. But that does not change the fact that you still need to look proactively for prostate cancer in order to find it.
Dr. Kapoor, I know there's been controversy over the last couple of years with screenings for prostate cancer. Can you tell us about that and what is recommended?
Yeah, the United States Preventative Service Task Force recommended against screening, routine screening for prostate cancer. Unfortunately, the data that the USPSTF, which is the acronym for this organization, used was incomplete and of not sufficient academic quality. They relied on two studies that were contradictory to each other. One was called the PLCO trial, and the other one was called the European Randomized Screening for Prostate Cancer Study, or the ERSPCT study. So not to trouble the listeners with a lot of jargon, but these studies were completely contradictory, with the PLCO study not showing a tremendous survival advantage for screening, but the European study, which was much larger, showing a very substantial advantage. Now, interestingly enough, the data in April, the European study updated their data with 14 years of follow-up, and now the facts are absolutely incontrovertible that screening for prostate cancer absolutely saves lives.
What has been the change, doctor, in survival rates with prostate cancer?
Well, before we started looking for prostate cancer, and I won't date myself by saying when I finished my residency, but some years ago, we used to find that about 25% or more of men that were diagnosed presented with advanced disease that was no longer curable. Mm-hmm. That number has really gone down. With advanced treatment and early detection, we find that the 10-year survival, which in the 1970s was about 53%, now is about 99.9%. That the 10-year survival for prostate cancer is over 99% if we can detect it. It's absolutely amazing. And in addition, during the same interval of time, the death rate from prostate cancer has declined by 40%. Now, to tell you what a serious health problem is, even with those advances, prostate cancer is still the second leading cause of cancer death in men.
Is there a certain age that a man should be screened? Is it family history? Is it lifestyle?
Well, we don't know any specific risk factors in terms of diet or lifestyle that may lead to an increased risk of prostate cancer. But we do know that there are certain groups that are at much greater risk. And those are African-American men, men with a family history of prostate cancer, and there's some evidence that suggests that people that have been exposed to Agent Orange might be at increased risk. So the most current recommendations that have been adopted on an international basis are that men obtain a baseline PSA sometime in their 40s.
Okay.
And once they get the baseline PSA, then they talk to their physician about what the correct interval for screening is. Based on your risk factors and your baseline PSA, you may not need to be tested for another 5 years, or you may need to be tested annually. It depends. But certainly, those individuals that have a family history or African American should absolutely be screened at an earlier age, and everybody else for sure should start considering having conversations with their physicians about screening by the time they're 50.
And Doc, what's involved in a prostate screening?
Well, the regular prostate screening involves a simple blood test to which a physical examination, a digital rectal examination, mm-hmm. is added. The controversy about screening exists over the blood test and whether or not people should have the blood test, and will it result in the detection of otherwise insignificant cancers.
Right.
Well, from my perspective, I would rather that the patient have the results of the blood test and then know what they're dealing with so they can make their own decision from themselves. Remember, there's virtually no risk whatsoever to screening. What the USPSTF did was they took the risk of biopsy and the risk of treatment, and they superimposed those risks onto the risk of a blood test, which really doesn't make a great deal of sense. You know, from my perspective, if you are an adult male in the United States, you deserve the right to have the basic information regarding what's going on in your own body so you can make a decision for yourself. And the best way to look at it is 2 weeks after the USPSTF, which is a branch, which is part of the executive branch of the mm-hmm. government, recommended that no man get screened for prostate cancer, President Barack Obama was screened for prostate cancer. So my contention is that if it's good enough for the President of the United States, then it's good enough for every other citizen of this country.
Most certainly. Well said. You had a race on June 1st in Belmont Park. How did this event help raise awareness, and how many people were you able to reach?
The founding president of Integrated Medical Foundation, which is committed to prostate cancer awareness and patient education in the New York metropolitan area, I want to thank the New York Racing Association for once again hosting the event at Belmont Park.
Right.
It's the kickoff to the Stakes Weeks. And we want to thank the New York Racing Association for allowing us to hold the event at Belmont Park as the kickoff to what was a really exciting Belmont Stakes Week. It's the only time where they allow humans to run on the track at Belmont Park. And it's a very exciting event for the runners because they get to cross the finish line as the same place as the thoroughbreds
right.
do when they race. And this is the third year we've been having the event, and each year it's grown by leaps and bounds. So this year we had well over 1,000 participants and over 700 runners that were there. Many of the people that were running in memory or in honor of their loved ones that were stricken with prostate cancer. So it was really a very moving event.
Emotional, sure.
Yes.
You had mentioned before, Dr. Kapoor, a family history of prostate or breast cancer. What's the correlation between the two?
Well, there isn't any direct research that there are some genes in common
mm-hmm.
that if you have the gene expression that you may be at risk of
right.
prostate cancer. We generally consider to be prostate and breast cancer to be analogous diseases in men and women. They obviously affect different organs, but there are certain similarities to their biological behavior, so we consider them to be somewhat analogous. The number of women that die from breast cancer is about 36 or 37,000, which is approximately the number of men that die from prostate cancer. So, and just like with prostate cancer, early detection of breast cancer is paramount to successful treatment.
Right.
So the two diseases really are ones that in medicine we consider as analogous in the different sexes.
Okay. Where can people go to get free screenings and other helpful resources for prostate cancer?
Well, the two times of year where we see a lot of screenings that are done, the first is around Father's Day. So mm-hmm. you may find free screenings. They're very well advertised. There are a number of sites, whether it be at the IMF site or other nonprofit sites that do this. The other time that free screenings are held is in September, which is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay.
And during that entire month, we'll see a significant number of screenings that are being done. But Sandy, it's really important to remember that prostate cancer is not just a twice a year
sure.
phenomenon. It's something that people should be aware of 365 days a year. And you should fold prostate cancer health for a man into your routine wellness visits with your doctors. Because if you don't do that, then you run the risk of missing the disease early and losing the opportunity for cure. So the most important people that we reach out to, actually, not only are the men themselves, because men are notoriously bad at taking care of themselves. So what we try to reach out to is the wives and daughters, because, and I don't mean to sound sexist, but women do a much, much better job of their routine health maintenance than men do. And I know for myself, I can speak very honestly, if it weren't for my wife, I would never have gone to the doctor and found that I had high blood pressure, for which is now controlled with medication. And I'm a physician myself, so I'll acknowledge that I'm possibly one of the worst patients that's out there. So fortunately, my wife helps me take care of myself. And that's important, because as we come to Father's Day, we want people to remember their fathers and their brothers and their sons and their uncles and all the men that are close to them, and encourage them at this time of year to go get the blood test done, have a simple physical examination, and really put the anxiety of having an undiagnosed life-threatening illness to the side.
And as you said before, early detection, like breast cancer, prostate cancer, can be cured. The earlier one discovers that they're with the blood tests, the better.
Well, then that's one of the things that's really important for us to understand. When we take a look, one of the criticisms of screening is that we are picking up all this prostate cancer that wouldn't need to be treated. But in the screening program, if you look at the number of cases of prostate cancer that are diagnosed every year, if we were picking up all these incidental prostate cancers, you would expect the number of prostate cancers to be increasing.
Right.
And the fact is that that's not the case. The incidence of prostate cancer is actually very level, but the death rate is declining. We're not detecting more cancer. We're detecting cancer earlier, and we're saving lives.
Okay. You had mentioned before IMF. What is Integrated Medical Foundation? What is it?
The Integrated Medical Foundation is a not-for-profit organization that's based here on Long Island, and it conducts a series of prostate cancer screenings throughout the year, usually very often in conjunction with local political leaders or church groups, to bring prostate cancer detection to communities that might not otherwise have access to those services. In addition to those services, it's one of the only organizations that has ongoing awareness programs. So it has programs both for men that are diagnosed with prostate cancer, that have the ability to interact with other men that are either undergoing or have completed treatment, which is can be very supportive. And there's also programs for family members of people with prostate cancer, of men with prostate cancer. So the family members are better able to cope with their loved ones' illnesses and support them through the therapeutic process.
Now, you'd mentioned support groups. Is there a place in particular that somebody can go online to find a support group in their area?
Yeah. So if we go to the foundation website, which is imfcares.com, imfcares.com. There should be a listing there of the locations and times for the support groups. There, they have them in various places in different times of the month, and there's different topics at each time. And when there are screenings, the foundation website will also list where the screenings are and when.
Okay.
One of the things that we can talk about are the options for treatment for prostate cancer. And I think that this is something that's very important for people to understand, that when you have prostate cancer, when you're diagnosed with prostate cancer, if you're unfortunate enough to have the diagnosis, there are tremendous numbers of therapeutic alternatives that exist. So what we focus on when we look at the treatment of prostate cancer is creating a customized treatment protocol for the patient's, not only his cancer, but his individual life. You know, prostate cancer can sometimes be a disease of elderly men. And in some cases, prostate cancer is a disease that you die with, not of. So there's a certain subset of men that we can follow expectantly, that we can defer the immediate treatment of prostate cancer by a process known as active surveillance. So one of the things that advances in genomic markers and staging and grading of prostate cancer, we're trying to ascertain in advance which are those patients that may have a disease that's more indolent and slow growing, and differentiate those patients from those that have a much more aggressive disease. So some men are going to be a candidate for active surveillance. Now, active surveillance is not the same thing as benign neglect or watchful waiting. You know, active surveillance is actually an a treatment course of itself, where you are choosing to have regular repeat biopsies, whether you're and serial exams and blood tests to determine whether or not your disease may be progressing. And if your disease does progress, then at that point in time, you can go on to acute intervention. Now,
what sort of treatments would someone expect?
The mainstay of treatment that we have fall into two broad categories. And the first category is surgical, and the second category would be non-surgical. And historically, non-surgical therapy has largely been radiation therapy. Mm-hmm. Now, the surgical therapy is what's known as a radical prostatectomy. That involves the removal of the prostate and the surrounding structures. We can do that with or without a robotic assist in a minimally invasive fashion.
Right.
Some men can have that done in an open basis as well. The survival rates for both are approximately equivalent, although you get up on your feet and back to work sooner with a less invasive approach of therapy. The mainstay for treatment with radiation is known as external beam radiation therapy, and mm-hmm. with modern advances in radiation therapy, we're able to treat the cancer with extremely narrow margins so that some of the historical side effects that were associated with radiation no longer exist. And so when we talk about things like image-guided radiation therapy or treatments like rapid arc or volume-modulated radiation therapy where the treatment can be done much more rapidly and precisely. But these are all options that a man should discuss with his physician once the diagnosis has been made. There's also other new exciting modalities of therapy such as focal treatment of the prostate, which in certain cases we may be able to treat just the disease itself and not the surrounding gland, which has the potential for sparing side effects.
Right.
As well. So there are a lot of therapeutic treatments that are available. So from a clinical perspective, it's exciting to be able to offer men the opportunity to get to have treatment as opposed to just palliative care. I will say, Sandy, that even those men that have metastatic disease, that has disease that is spread outside the prostate, mm-hmm. that we don't have the opportunity to cure, there is tremendous advances being made, both in terms of chemotherapy as well as newer drug agents. So whereas historically these men, we had very little to offer. Now, just in the last 3 years, the number of agents that have been released on the market for people with advanced prostate cancer, it's tremendous. So we're in a very exciting place, both in terms of the treatment of prostate cancer, as well as the early detection and diagnosis of prostate cancer. And what we really need is for men not to be afraid to go to their doctors and be checked, because prostate cancer is a survivable illness. But in order for it to be a survivable illness, it must be caught early.
Somebody tuned in late, doctor. Where can they go to find out more information on prostate cancer? And what, with Father's Day around us right now, and you mentioned before the women in men's lives, what they can do to encourage the people that the men that they love to take care of themselves?
For information on prostate cancer, you can go to our website, which is Advanced Urology Centers of New York, which is AUCofNY.com. For information, radiation therapy, we can go to our radiation site, Advanced Radiation Centers of New York. And of course, for prostate cancer screenings and information on the support groups, go to the foundation website at www.imfcares.com.
With us this morning is President of Advanced Urology Centers of New York and Associate Clinical Professor of Urology at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital. Dr. Kapoor, thank you for your valuable information this morning. We appreciate you having taken the time, and hopefully maybe some lives will be saved.
I truly appreciate it. Thank you, Sandy, for having me out here.
Okay, thank you.